I want to think this morning about perhaps ourselves a little. It's good to look at ourselves, perhaps in the mirror of the Lord's Word. I was thinking recently about, and I would point us here at the beginning of the message to hopefully a little bit of a theme that we want to carry through the message, where Jesus talked about the two houses that were built. One of them was built on the rock. It was founded upon a rock. And it didn't fall because that's where its foundation was. It wasn't on the shifting sands. And a lot of times we think about the shifting sands of life. To my mind, I can interpret that and the idea that shifting sands is kind of man's opinions. Can be at least interpreted that way. Man's ideas, man's doctrines, man's opinions about how things should happen. And I've lived long enough. I know I'm not old. Not claiming to be. But I'm getting there. But I've lived long enough to see the 60s. And see some things that happened then. To some of you, that's a long time ago. But I watched the ideas that was implemented in the 60s and the things we wrestled with as a body of Christ. As Christianity wrestled with some of the things that was coming in during the 60s. Some of those ideas. And I want to tell you, if in any era that we found our principles and our walk with the Lord, if it is founded upon the fickle things of human opinion, we're going to be in trouble. It's not sufficient enough to take us to heaven. Especially when the Lord has made Himself available and He wants to be that personal Heavenly Father that we can know. That we might know Him and the power of His resurrection. That we might have contact with Him. And it's more than just a theory. It's more than just we come here and talk about it. And it's good to do all that. It's good to have the theory, but it's better to know Him. To go home with Him. To take Him home with us. To have times where we spend quiet times with the Lord. And it is a good scripture, and quietness and confidence shall be your strength. I think the Lord would have us to spend away from the hubbub of the world and everything that wheels around sometimes in my mind, to get away from that. And Jesus tried to get that idea to us. He said, you go into your closet and you close the door and you pray to your Father which is in secret. And your Father which is in secret will reward you openly. But we're interested in having some time with Him. It's very important. Well, we need the Lord this morning. And I think about the different opinions and the sway back and forth. Again, I want to think about being founded upon the rock. Some of us are older and some of us are younger. You younger ones are being raised in a different way of thinking than what some of the previous generations did. Brother Lewis is back here. He's not one of the oldest ones. We all, Brother John, some of us are in a different era. We're a little older. And we grew up with the environment that we grew up in. And sometimes in that era, there was different ways of approach, mindset that was a little different. Sometimes in our families, from one family to another was different. Sometimes in my family, there were some things that was impressed on my mind when I was growing up. My mother was raised, she came through an era. You've heard the term Bobby socks. You know what that means? Do we even call them that anymore? But I was looking into that. It seemed like it was tight. There was a time when when there was a cutting of the hair. They were called the bobbies, those who would bob. And along with that, there came a trend that kind of emulated what was going on there, or kind of encapsulated, identified what was going on. And the whole thing, and there was these socks that went along with that. And for whatever reason, there was a spirit actually that went along with that, that was pushing the limits of propriety in that age, that was really going against the things of the Lord, the sweet communion with Him. But that spirit was in opposition to that. And there came a point, the saints, those who were seeing some of that spirit, they began to cry out against some of those things. And Bobby Socks was one of those. Folks, I want to tell you, unless we found ourselves on the rock, we will get hung up on Bobby Socks. And I'm not throwing out what the dear saints of our past pointed out. I want to tell you, my mother, I think to her dying day, had a problem with Bobby Socks. I want to tell you, it's more than Bobby Socks. I was there and I saw some of the trends. It was coming in the 60s, and there was the shaggy hair and the beards, and all that came in. And again, dear ones, as we go through the changes of life, we must found ourselves on the rock, Christ Jesus. And as the saints, as Christendom wrestled with what was being displayed as there was a rebellious spirit that did come in the 60s. There was things that came in, and most of what people that flowed with that ideas that prevailed in those 60s, the late 60s, early 70s, all that, when the things that pervaded it wasn't something that led you closer to Christ. Most of it wasn't. And so we started talking about beards. Folks, I think we should be careful with what we do. I think we shouldn't try to identify with what the devil's trying to do on the world around us. But it's not the beard. Don't unsave me for saying it's okay to have a beard. I've had them. It's not the beard. We are walking with Christ. We can get hung up on the beard. Brother Jim Wall, back during that time, he always had a mustache. Good brother. But he was hearing this cry out of it, and Brother Jim Wall shaved his mustache for a time. You know why? He didn't want to be offensive. It's good to feel that way. But folks, there's reasons it goes beyond just the outward. And that's where I want us to be, each one individually in our heart. Because if we find one little thing that said, this is righteousness in my era, in the 60s, this type of a thing, and there's a whole lot of things. I can talk about the mini skirt, and I can talk about the maxi skirt. All those, both those were in the 60s. You know what that was? All of human expression, desire to fit in with the things that were going on. You're not of this world, little children. That's not our identity. Our identity is in Christ. And the way we're each one going to get to know how to live for Him is in our closet, by getting to know Him. Oh, this word is precious. Yes, it is. But you know, I can take this word and I can approach this word in my carnal ideas, and I can come up with wrong ideas out of it. I've got to get alone with God. I've got to seek His wisdom and His ways and His understanding. And I've got to let the Lord temper me. And you've got to let the Lord temper you. And I can't preach this word strong enough and hard enough to make you make heaven. I don't want to diminish this word. This word is precious and it's good. But for us to make heaven, the Lord invites us to His own heart, to His sight. Individually. Oh, it would be perhaps cheap and easy. It would be simple. If we could just get a book, a code book, and get it all written down and say, this is what we believe. And if we could get here and I could give you all my opinions and string it together and attach it to scriptures and tell you this is what the Lord requires of you, and you could maybe do it according to me. But I don't have a heaven to take you to. And I encourage us each one to find where God walks. I want to be like you, Lord. I must be like our Lord. You know, we grow up in different families. We have different ideas sometimes. I guess I come from a family of pretty strong opinions. And my mother tried to help me temper my propensity to being very strong. I would say my opinions pretty hard. Sometimes she'd say, son, you need to learn how to say that differently. You said that so. I didn't understand it then. But I'm grateful for her reproof. As walking with the Lord, I've had to allow the Lord to temper me in some of that. I hope I've let Him do it. It's not wrong to stand for something that is right. But stand for it in the right spirit, dear ones. We can do damage to something that is right just simply by holding it in the carnal fist. When we walk with each other, sometimes you may have been raised with a different opinion about some things than I was. Maybe something was very precious to you, and when you were raised, this was a boundary in our, as Bobby Sox was to me. And it almost felt like I was doing wrong by saying that. I could easily say, we all need to stay away from Bobby Sox. That is something ingrained in my childhood that I could say that today. But then I have to say, but Lord, you didn't say that. I can say there's something wrong with giving over to the spirit of the world. I can say that. Oh, in every era, from every household, sometimes we're raised with daddies that don't know how to humble themselves before the mighty hand of God. There's all these type of influences that people struggle with. And as we come and we grow up, we have to let the Lord temper me, because sometimes what I was raised with wasn't completely right. And I want to talk to us today as we examine ourselves. I don't know how you were raised. I know how I was raised. I know the things that I carried from my past to where I am today. And I know some of the things that the Lord had to, in His scripture and in His communion with me, there are times He's had to correct me because I carried some things that needed to be changed. You know, sometimes the Lord would have us realize that that's not important. We find ourselves almost barking at the one end of a hollow log, thinking the rabbit ran in there, surely I've got him cornered now. And for the next 30 years, I'm barking at this thing when I'm not going on and following the Lord, you see. Is that unclear? I'm sorry. You know, we can get so hung up, what I'm really trying to say, we can get so hung up on one little point. And the devil would love for us to get hung up on that to the point that I can't even walk with the Lord. And the Lord wants us to move on, to follow His leadings. We're not ever saying, walk behind light. That's not what I'm advocating for here today. I'm advocating quite the opposite. Walk in His light. And you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You won't do it. Because the Lord will come. He'll come and He'll talk with our hearts and say, child, don't do that. If we let Him. You see, it's when we begin to close our eyes and our mind and our ears and I back up and say, no, this is the way it's got to be. Whether it's in the Scripture or not. I want to advocate for you and I knowing the Lord with all of our heart. Well, Matthew 17. I was thinking about this recently, about us. Personalities are different. You get around some of us X, you're going to say, well, that's kind of how they are. You kind of know who, kind of how to expect kind of who they are. Get around the Gillenbeck, say, well, that's kind of a Gillenbeck trait. Get around, oh, whatever trait you are, whatever family, we kind of carry with us some of those same traits. But I'm not quite interested in holding all my family traits. I'm interested in holding godly traits. Because chains that hold us sometimes into the past need to be broken. Sometimes the Lord wants to release us from dogma. And sometimes He wants to... Sometimes we've raised in a liberal family and sometimes an overly conservative family. And neither one of those things are right. God would have us tempered, brought to the place where we walk with God, balanced in the light of His truth. A little uncomfortable thinking about that, isn't it? But I think the Lord would help. He would want to be our shepherd, each one individually, reveal Himself to us. In this era, that holiness and righteousness may be lived out in our life. We can never back up on that truth. It's what the Lord wants to build within us. His image in us. Matthew 17, I want to go here. Forgive me as I'm still turning there. And I'm just going to start here with the first verse. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, his brother John his brother, and brings them up into a high mountain apart. You know, sometimes the Lord would like to take us away from the hubbub of life and get us apart. He did this. He called these three in particular, called them apart. And they went up. Second verse, and was transfigured. Jesus was transfigured before them. There was an amazing thing happened in front of the eyes of these three men. I don't know anyone, I don't think any of us can say, I saw somebody transfigured like this. Perhaps a eunuch, if he was here, the Ethiopian eunuch, maybe he could have said, well, I saw something happen too. There's some others in the scripture may have said, well, I saw something that was pretty spectacular. But these three men was with Jesus. And they got up to this mountain and they saw Him change in front of their eyes. He was transfigured before them, and His face did shine as the sun, and His raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses, Elias, talking with Him, and Elias. I don't know how they knew that it was Moses and Elias. I can't answer that question. But there was some convincing that they knew that these two were special. They said they were Moses and Elias was talking with Jesus. Then answered Peter unto Jesus. You know, if we would have been there, we'd have thought that was pretty special. And likely, I could easily see me saying, Lord, let's make a monument right here. This is special. I've never seen this before. I saw you transformed in front of my eyes, and I saw these other two. I saw Moses and Elias, and surely this is a holy spot. Let's enshrine your holiness here. Let's put it right here. Let's build monuments to all three of you. That's what Peter said, wasn't it? Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, while Peter was still busy trying to say what he felt, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice came out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. I don't believe that it was wrong for Peter to say, This is a precious time, Lord. I don't think it was wrong for him to acknowledge that this was a moment that has really impacted me in my soul and my spirit. I saw this before and I realized that it was the Lord is in this place. And it was good, I believe, for Peter to acknowledge that and recognize a special place that the Lord held there. But he was wanting to enshrine that moment, this place. And the Lord came and said, No. Don't build something that's an imitation of the real. Folks, God wants us to know Him. God wants us individually to know Him. I can't, this chapel won't go with you to work. But God can. This chapel or other people that we look up to, none of them can go with us through our life and go to Walmart or deal with our neighbors that don't like us and might say bad things about us. Other people when they might come out against us. Only the Lord can be there that day. It's in my own heart and in my mind. I wrestle with these things that would war against my soul, that would try to get me sidetracked back to the old man that I used to be. But in this day, if I have this monument to the Lord in my heart, that He dwells within me, then I hear His voice saying, Child, be careful over there. I need Him there. Hear ye Him. I want to hear the voice of my Lord. I want to hear His communion. I want to hear His correction. I want to hear His whispers of love. I want to see the light that He shines on my pathway. And I want to walk in that light. I'm desperate for that. I am not smart enough to deal with the devil in this life. I need the Lord, and so do you. We need the Holy Spirit. We need Him residing. We need all that God has for us residing within us. And we can embody both His Word and His Spirit in our heart because God says it. God wants His Word to come down within us and be effective in my life. And His Holy Spirit to be alive in my soul, and I can also hear His word, and the confirmation, the ringing of His Holy Spirit saying amen to what we know to be true. In our Sunday school lesson this morning, the question was asked about how can we know. And there was a prayer about, you may have to help me with it. But the prayer about, it's a verse that talked about our thoughts may be acceptable. Let the meditation heart and the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. There you go. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto thee, O Lord. There's a reason why we should say, Lord, we should pray that way. Lord, help my mind, the meditations of my heart, the thoughts of my mind, let them be acceptable to you. The reason why we need to pray and bring that to the Lord is because I cannot trust myself. I can't lean to my own understanding. I will make excuses. But when I bring myself honestly to the Lord, and I say, Lord, where are you in this matter? Help me, Lord. Shine your light upon my pathway. Keep me from the defilements. I want to be built upon the rock. I don't want to be built on the fickle ideas of man or myself. I need your guiding hand. And if we do that honestly, I believe the Lord will reveal himself sufficiently that I can stand on solid rock. I have something to stand on. I have something to build on. My house, when I build on that rock, Christ Jesus, when I build on that rock, then it is a firm foundation. And I can lay one stone after another, and the Lord will give me the truth and the right things to build upon that life, upon that rock, Christ Jesus. And when we build it, and the winds of this world will come, the rain will beat, and the floods will come, and our house will be tried, but we can stand. In this day, all some of us older ones, you children, I look at you and I pray the Lord will bless you in your life. I pray the Lord will keep you and encourage you and inspire you. And if the Lord tarries his coming and the world keeps moving on and changing, and I don't see it turning back to more righteousness unless there's some great revival. I pray for revival in these United States. We need it. But if it keeps on going like it is, you younger ones are going to face things that we didn't face. But I will tell you this. The same God that made us able to face what we faced in our day is still going to be there in your day. And us older ones look out there and say, oh, this is scary. I don't want my grandchildren growing up, and I don't either. I'm going to say it along with you. But I will tell you that the same God that brought the... I was a grandchild once, and my grandparents felt like I do today. They also was worried about the world, and it has changed a lot. But holiness and righteousness and his power, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, is still around and is still able to make you and I be faithful and true. If we'll listen to his counsel, if we'll listen to what he has to say. I will try to read a little bit more here in Matthew 17th chapter. The Lord said unto Peter and those standing, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. And I would hope that rings in our hearts yet today. Lord, help us not to... Don't take my words. I want to tell you. Sometimes I tremble and think, Lord, they may believe what I say. Actually, if it's truth, I want you to believe it. But don't do it because of me saying it. You understand? God wants us to hear him confirming his word. Not just me. So, hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise, be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. I like that. Oh, Elias was fantastic. Don't get me wrong. Elias was being Elijah. Elijah, I love reading the exploits of Elijah and everything around him. It's a wonderful story. Elijah was one of the few that walked across on dry land. There's two places that the Lord parted water, you know, the Red Sea and Jordan, and then two more. Elijah and Elisha walked across the Jordan. Remember? Elijah took his mantle, remember, and he smote the waters and he went across. Oh, Elijah, surely we need to have a monument unto you. No, we have a monument unto the power that made it so. God himself. God help us to be like Elijah and honor the Lord with our lives. It's very important. Elisha also was able to take the same mantle and say, where's the God? He didn't say, where's Elijah? He said, where's the God? And when these disciples heard the voice of the Lord and they lifted up their eyes after they were so afraid, they saw Jesus alone. He's the one today. I want our eyes to be fixed beyond the pastors, beyond those leaders of congregations. Though we honor and we appreciate all those who hold up the gospel before us, and we should. But folks, beyond all of them, there is God. There is His Son, Jesus Christ, and God help us to fix our eyes on Him. We'd like to read over here in Hosea. Hosea, the 10th chapter. I'm thinking about our personal walk with the Lord and how important it is. And how that throughout history, the Lord tied people's obedience with whether His blessing would flow to them or not. It's undeniable. You look at the Old Testament, and the Lord would say, if you do this, and if you don't do this, behold, I set before you today both a blessing and a curse. It was the Lord that told humans that the way they conducted themselves and the way they were willing to obey or disobey His word, it had consequences in their life. It was the Lord that said that. It's not me, but it was God Himself. It is still so today. Though we may hope and wish, we think about the day of grace, and I'm so thankful for the grace of our Lord and what He has brought to us today. But that grace does not mean we don't have a right, or we don't have a responsibility to obey. There are some, and I can understand how people can get there, though I don't think it's correct. There are some people can get the idea that grace just covers everything. And you get saved, and then grace just allows you to keep on living to the flesh. Folks, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible would have us repent, and part of repenting is absolutely turning from the old man unto the new. It's what the Lord wants us to do. And He'll help you along that path. Holiness should not be interpreted in our day as being absolutely perfect in every way, but a perfect heart toward God. And Lord, I want to be holy today. And I want to be taught today. Those places that aren't correct in me, I want You to adjust. I want to be like You today. My heart is perfect toward You. Though I don't always feel good about the way I acted, but Lord, I want to be more like You. And I go to my closet in prayer. And sometimes I repent and I say, Lord, I'm sorry. Help me, Lord. I want to do better. I want Your graces. I want Your power. I want Your enablement to come to me. But I want to tell you, it's so almost lazy of us to say, Lord, if You'll take away all temptation, I'm going to serve You. And maybe we can almost think of a system where if I give my heart to the Lord and then I get sanctified and all of a sudden I've transported beyond temptation. Folks, that's not the way it is. There's no, and I don't want to, but for use terminology that we can understand, there's no magic bullet that goes bang and it's over with. The Lord asks us to obey and requires it of us. We are given the responsibility of moral choice. And every one of us have that responsibility. And this is not something that we should think, oh no, I can't do it. Oh, the devil would like to tell all of us, you can't do it. And he's a liar. Don't concede that ground to him. Because let him that is weak say, I'm strong. We don't have to be a slave to that old enemy. We don't have to live in defeat anymore because the King has come. The King has come. The righteous, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has come and brought us to a place that we can look with great anticipation toward the battles of my tomorrow and say, the Lord will bring me through. He's able. Oh, the devil would like to point out all of our human weaknesses and our failures. And the fact is, we have human weaknesses and we have human failures. Well, that doesn't mean I can't keep going on. That doesn't mean I have to be a failure all my life long. That doesn't mean I have to be addicted to failure. Because God would have us to look upward in hope and recognize that I can overcome through Him that loved us. Don't let the devil steal that great hope in you. And don't begin to think. I've heard it more than one place. But I've heard the idea of once we get saved and under the grace of the Lord and He has saved us, that somebody, I've heard it said, we can sin boldly now because His grace is greater than all of our sin. Well, I want to tell you, His grace is greater than all of our sin, but God requires us to make moral choice. And it is our fault if we sin boldly. We have responsibility. So when we look, when we read the Old Testament, then we read over in the New Testament, we see the character of our Lord and how it requires people to do justice, to walk humbly with our God. When we see all these places throughout the reading of His Word into the New Testament, we see that God wants us to obey Him. And then the devil will say, but you can't. And there's even some scriptures that we can almost read and say, well, it says that there's none righteous, no, not one. It can't be done. I think we might have sometimes a wrong interpretation of that scripture when we paint all humanity with that brush. For one thing, Enoch was a righteous man, was he not? There's one. We look back in the Old Testament, there was different people who walked with God. Back then. And today the Lord would have us yet walking with the Lord. Because of His grace that He gave even back then, He gives grace yet to you and I today that we can walk today with our Lord. Let me ask you, if the devil is trying to tell you you can't please the Lord, I want to ask you, what law can you not obey? What law can you not? Is there a rule that says you can't say yes, Lord? Because God says you can say yes. If you're going to say that, then I'm going to ask you this. What physical law in this world can you not obey? If we can obey all the laws of man, why can't we obey the precious laws of our Lord that are good for our soul? So I want to ask us today, don't let the devil get advantage of us and tell us that we can't walk with the Lord in obedience. Because by His grace we can. Not in arrogance, but in joy walking with our Lord. All right, over in Hosea, the 10th chapter. This is a situation of the children of Israel had fallen into at least carelessness and had not been following the Lord. In the first verse, I'm going to read. Israel is an empty vine. He brings forth fruit unto himself. He's always thinking about just himself. Israel is an empty vine. The vine was intended to bloom with fragrance and be pollinated and begin in time to bring forth fruit, sweet, ripe fruit. Something that could be nourishing and blessings to people around this vine. But Israel is not that way. It's an empty vine. Brings forth fruit unto himself. That's all. He pleases himself. There's something too we talked about a little bit in Sunday school back there this morning. It seems to be, there's a reason why we should say, Lord, help my thinking to be more like yours instead of me. Because it's so easy to please me. Selfishness is a horrible poison for our life. Do you remember the lawyer that came and asked Jesus? He said, what's the greatest commandment? And he asked Jesus, I believe he probably, perhaps he asked him with a genuine curiosity and wonder what his answer is going to be on this one. What's the greatest commandment, Lord? The lawyer, they're kind of used to debate. They're used to bringing forth their opinions and arguing about it. And this lawyer came to Jesus and said, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, it's love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. And the lawyer, it's curious to me, it's revealing to me that right after that, the lawyer, it was said in the scripture, he wanted to justify himself. Because I believe there was something about Jesus' answer really struck, perhaps it was about loving your neighbor as yourself, perhaps, but it struck pretty close to this lawyer's mind and his heart. And so to justify himself, he said, well, then who's my neighbor? Let's argue this point, because, you know, kind of hard to argue that you shouldn't love the Lord with all your heart and all this. But my neighbor now, I've got some issues there, so tell me who's my neighbor. And Jesus went and told him who his neighbor was. Unto the Samaritan. Thou self-righteous Jew. The Samaritan also is your neighbor. And there's something about being selfish would cause me to disregard my neighbor. And that's not Christ-like. That's not godly. Here, Israel was like the empty vine. God intended, when he saved you and I today, he intended his implantation of himself in our heart. He intended it to bring forth fruit unto righteousness. And if we are watered by the selfish desires of my own self, and want to bring forth fruit just to myself, it's an evil day. It's not good. See, the Lord wants to take us in all our self, our way I was raised, the way my mindset was already set, and my personalities. And the Lord would like to temper every part of that. If we're liberal of mind, the Lord would like to bring us to a place where I bring myself more into the line that the Lord is wanting to bring me. Where I don't just allow everything. No, there's some things I shouldn't allow. And the Lord will, if I love him with all my heart and seek for his face, the Lord will bring me to a place of greater obedience in that area. And also, if I am so conservative, I'm so strict, the Lord would bring me to a place that I'm not anchored in just strictness, like that's my God. I've got to be harsh and strict. But the Lord will balance me out and bring me to a place that, no, I don't. I need to hear from the Lord. And when we do that, then God is able to actually cause holiness and his righteousness to bloom in my life. And I'm actually more like Christ then. There was a song right on the other page. We sang a song a while ago. The next song on the next page says, more like Christ every day. More like Christ, my heart is praying. And that's what the Lord would have us in this day to seek to be more like him. And children of Israel here, they were selfish and they brought fruit unto themselves. And fruit unto himself, according to the multitude of his fruit, he hath increased the altars. So he was abundance. He did well on a lot of things, and he increased the altars. He gave and he did a lot of good things. According to the goodness of his land, they have made goodly images. They used it wrongly. And in our mind, we can so justify everything that we do. Every man's way is right in his own eyes, but I need the Lord's ways and not mine. It's the reason why Jesus talked to the people that followed him. And he said, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself. Because in our own carnal ways, we can justify almost everything. But in the face or in the presence of the Lord, there's things begin to... I realize that's not right. That attitude, that spirit that I have within me needs to be adjusted by the way of the Lord. Anyway, over here now in Hosea, I want to go on down in this chapter. Perhaps the 12th verse. Where God talked to the children of Israel back there through Hosea. And he said here in the 12th verse, sow to yourselves in righteousness. Can they do that? Yes, they could have. And they can. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up the hardened, this fallow ground, this place that is almost impenetrable in your heart. Today, as we try to interpret this into our day and where we walk, the Lord would look at you and I today and say, sow to yourselves in righteousness. There are things sometimes in our life that could hinder the free flow and the working of the Lord in my life. And God wants me to recognize that and break up that fallow ground. When He reveals to us these areas that need to be changed, I've come to Him and say, Lord, break this up. I don't want to be like that anymore. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Because the Lord, when we recognize where I am and I say, Lord, that's me. I don't like that the mirror of your word has exposed something in me. And I don't like what I see, but that is me. And I will reap then in mercy, because the Lord wants to bring us past a place of brokenness. He wants to bring us to a place of spiritual health. We'll reap not His harshness, but His mercy. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness in you. Who can do this? We can do this. They could do that, but so can we. Seek the Lord. There's no law says you can't. You and I can seek the Lord in this our day. I don't care how much wickedness may be going on around us. It is time to seek the Lord. It is time to seek the Lord till He rains righteousness in our heart. Break up the fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. You've plowed wickedness. The direction you took before, the things you allowed to grow, you've plowed in wickedness. You have reaped iniquity. Has it worked for us? Is this the path? As we look at ourselves individually, is this the trajectory that I want in my life? Because if it's not, today is the day to say, Lord, I don't want that. I want You. I want what You have for me in the future. I don't want my old carnal ways, my old selfishness. Plowed in wickedness, you've reaped iniquity. You've eaten the fruit of lies because thou didst trust in thy way. You trusted in your way, not the Lord's way. In the multitude of thy mighty men. Well, I won't go on any more in that verse. But I do want quickly to go over to Romans 12. It's a beautiful chapter over here in Romans 12. Well, if I can get my Bible to turn there, I'll get there. Romans 12, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Can we do that, or was Paul just saying theory to the air? Folks, I want to tell you, this isn't just theory. This isn't just hyperbole. This isn't something we can today present. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, as by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice to God. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We can do that today. In the decisions of life, the directions that we're taking. And folks, I want to tell you today, I appreciate the doctrines that we have in the Church of God. Appreciate them. Amen. They're good. They're valuable. They're protection. It's what the Lord wants us to have. But what I'm wanting to talk to us about today is knowing the author of those. I want us to know that if we stood alone, if we somewhere got isolated, if I took this Bible and I was raised in a family clear isolated in some other land, and I started reading this and I began to follow the Lord, would I look like we do here today? Because the same author that brought us to the doctrines, to the things that we hold today, of which I appreciate, the same author that brought us to where we are today is able to bring wherever we are. And if he can't bring us to that same place, if it's not here in the Scripture, then it might be wrong. I'm not saying that we're wrong, but I want to encourage us to know the Lord. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's only right, holy, and acceptable to God. God wants you and I to recognize that this is something that we can happily give ourselves to the Lord. And it's not something that we feel put upon or feel... The only thing I can tell you is my own testimony. As I've walked with the Lord, it's been a precious walk. I've been happy to walk with the Lord. And it's not something that is onerous or difficult, but it's something that we can happily and joyfully walk with the Lord. Second verse now says, And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of what? My mind. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. These two verses put some responsibility on us as humans that we present ourselves honestly and completely and wholly to the Lord and say, Lord, work within me. It's only reasonable that I give what you have purchased by your own blood. It's only reasonable that I give you back my all. And as we do that, then it says, and be not conformed. Don't allow the things of the world or my personal human desires, these things that I want more, these fleshly desires, this selfish carnality that would like to raise up within me so easily. And be not conformed to that, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that perfect, what is that prove that is good, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So in this life we live today, and as we examine ourselves where we are today, don't examine yourself according to a book of creeds that we say this is what the saints have always taught. And it may be very good what the saints have always taught. But God wants us to have something better than that. More personal than that. He wants us to know Him. To build my life on the rock. There are other groups of people that say that rock is Peter.
It's not.
That rock never was Peter. You know what God builds His church on? He builds His church on this personal knowing, this revelation between us and Him. Between Him and us. That's the way I should say it. When He reveals, He said, "Blessed art thou, Peter. For flesh and blood hasn't revealed this unto you, but My Father has revealed this unto you. And on this rock, I'll build My church." God wants to reveal Himself personally to every one of us. That we might be founded with great confidence. That our feet might rest firmly upon the rock, Christ Jesus. That I begin to know Him and the power of His resurrection. That it might work in my life. That His holiness and His righteous ways are a natural outpouring of what He's implanted in my heart. It's not something that I have to strain about, but it's something that I might joyously live with. Because He is enthroned within our heart. That's just where the kingdom is, dear ones. We will begin to recognize the greatness of His kingdom when He's enthroned upon in our heart. And we see what it means. I want to strive for that. I want to live for Him with all my heart. Pray for me. I want to serve Him, dear ones. And I want to encourage us, each one, as we examine ourselves before the Lord. And I'm not here accusatory, but I'm here encouraging. And as we walk with the Lord, there's a place of sweetness, there's a place of righteousness, there's a place of great confidence that we have, that we can come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy, that we can sow to ourselves in righteousness, and we can reap in mercy, that we might follow on to know the Lord, might build upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to serve Him. Pray for me.